Welcome to Left Out on WRCT 88.3 FM. Left Out is a public affairs program dedicated to presenting news and views from a perspective left out of the mainstream news. I'm Bob Harper.
I'm Danny Slater.
Today's program is produced by Jay Thurber, as usual. Listeners are welcome to call us at 412-621-WRCT, which is 9728, or on campus, that's 89728. And if you wish, you can send electronic mail to Bob or Danny at leftout.info. We'll be monitoring electronic mail during the show. A couple of announcements. Go ahead.
Yeah, we have a couple of announcements to make. There's some films of note that are playing in Pittsburgh right now. The Amnesty International Film Festival is being held this week in five cities across the United States, including Pittsburgh. There are many notable films being shown, 17 films in all. Tonight's film is called Noam Chomsky, Rebel Without a Pause. It's a film about Chomsky, his views, speeches by Chomsky, and interviews with other people who know him and work with him. And it looks like it's going to be a very interesting film. It's never been shown in the U.S. before. It's a new film. It's going to be shown at 8 o'clock tonight at the Pittsburgh Filmmakers Melwood Screening Room, which is at 477 Melwood Avenue in Oakland off Baum Boulevard. You can look at the full schedule for the Amnesty International Film Festival at www.amnestyusa.org/filmfest/Pittsburgh, and you can go there to find that information. There's a another film showing tonight and tomorrow night, also at 8 p.m., This is called The Battle of Algiers, and it's an old film. I think it's made in the 60s.
I think that's right, yes.
And it's particularly appropriate now to be thinking about Algiers because lots of people have made analogies between the kind of war that took place between France and Algiers and what's happening in Iraq right now. So that film's showing at 8 o'clock tonight and tomorrow night at the Regent Square Theater. You have any more comments about that movie or...?
No, I would like to see it myself. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. So we have a number of topics to talk about tonight. Oh, yeah, one other announcement.
Right.
Yes. There's a new national radio program, actually network, which is starting tomorrow, and it's kind of a left-wing talk radio network. And the name, I'm not sure what it's actually called, Air America.
Yeah, it's either called America Left or Air America Radio. We're not sure. It seems to be known by several names on the web. And so that's the new talk radio network, national talk radio network, that starts tomorrow at noon. Tomorrow's Wednesday. Yes, already tomorrow, the 31st of March at noon with the O. Franken Factor, which is hosted by, you guessed it, Al Franken. And there's a number of other programs making up the daily schedule. And it currently, I think, from what I understand, if you look at the website, they're broadcasting in about five markets across the country, not one of which is Pittsburgh, unfortunately, and also on XM satellite radio. And so those of you who have satellite radio, I don't, might want to tune in. We can hope that we can get more, we can get it covered locally, so I suggest that maybe you call your local radio stations and ask that they carry Air America Radio.
They will ignore you. Yeah, I think it's going to be if it's for commercial radio stations.
It's commercial, yeah. So there's no way, like, just I think listeners calling up is going to do anything really.
And certainly Clear Channel is not going to be
hosting
that show. So
no, probably not. Although even though it does not have Howard Stern on it, but nevertheless, I think they won't be carrying it somehow. Something tells me, I don't know why. That they probably won't be carrying, or any Clear Channel stations will not be carrying Air America Radio. But myself, I'm hoping to have a chance one way or another to tune in.
Hopefully, they'll be broadcasting on the web. I don't know if they'll be doing that, but
haven't seen anything so far. But yeah, it would be great if that were true. Al Franken's stated goal is how does he put it? That his primary goal is to be sued by some right wing jerk. So I'm sure that that'll be easy to arrange.
I think there's a crying need for this sort of programming. And the New York Times had an article a couple of weeks ago about this, and they sort of dissed it a little bit by saying that, well, you know, the station they have in Chicago is only the 42nd largest station in Chicago or whatever the station was in New York and so on. But the fact is, once it gets on the air and word gets out, I mean, it could easily – skyrocket into something listened to by millions and millions of people, because I think there's a real thirst for an alternative view.
Yeah, I think let's hope so. I mean, I hope they'll do a great job. I mean, I think having Al Franken doing being opposite Rush Limbaugh will be is a good move. He's an entertaining fellow, and hopefully he'll attract a big audience. So we'll be interested to see how this plays out.
So probably the biggest thing that happened in the last 2 weeks since our last show was the emergence of Richard Clark and his testimony and his book and his public his appearances on television talking about his experience with dealing with terrorism in several administrations. So I don't know. Maybe you can describe what you think are the most salient points.
Yeah, okay. I read his book last week. Of course, it's really turned into a huge bestseller. It's called Against All Enemies. You can get it anywhere, practically, if they haven't sold out yet. From what I've read, it's been selling rather well. I picked it up last week and read it, and I can say it's a good read. It's very moves along very briskly. It reads kind of like a John le Carré novel in some respects. There's a lot of adventurous stories. Chapter one is many people have commented on it because it's like an adventure story. It starts out with the 9/11 attacks, and he was in the White House running the Situation Room on the day when Bush was at an elementary school in Florida and Cheney was in the basement with his wife. And he was running the running most of the operation, at least according to him, on the in the Situation Room that day. So it was very exciting to read from chapter one. That really really sucks you right in, and then from there you can listen to what he has to say. And as by now, combined with the release of the book, combined with his public testimony last week in front of the 9/11 Commission, has led to drawn quite a lot of attention to it, which is good. Although we should say straight away, the thing that's most interesting about it is pretty much nothing he says is news. That's the interesting part, right? Is all of this has been, created a tremendous amount of furor because, particularly the reaction of the Bush administration particularly to his testimony. But we'll come back to that in a minute. What are his main points? Well, his main points is that in the he's been working by the way in the White House. He was the head of the it's called the CSG, which is the Counterterrorism Security Group within the White House. That made him part of the National Security Council. So that means his immediate boss was Condoleezza Rice, and that he was working in the White House. So his main point is he started working in the White House in the 1980s in the Reagan administration. He worked in the first Bush administration. He worked for Clinton, and then he worked for the second Bush administration. So he's been around a while. He's a career public service guy. He's not a political appointee. He's a career guy. And he has a hell of a lot to say about terrorism, and in particular about the treatment of the issue by the Bush administration from the time that they took over office. So his main claim is well known by now. We will not be hearing this for the first time on Left Out, that's for sure. His main claim is that the Bush administration was completely asleep at the wheel and didn't do anything on the matter until it was too late. And he says that he met with Rice and asked urgently for a meeting of the CSG and the National Security Council to address counterterrorism policy, starting from the moment they were after the inauguration. And the very first meeting they held was September 4th, 2001, 1 week before the infamous date. And meanwhile, as you all know, if you just think back to what was going on up to the 9/11 attacks, well, these clowns were all worried about, for example, abrogating the ABM treaty. You'll remember that a huge big issue was that they had to, do away with the ABM treaty, and they had to have a national missile defense against what, for what reason, and whether it would work. Well, these are all secondary considerations.
And getting out of the Kyoto.
Getting out of the Kyoto Accords, that was a big priority. you know, denying the reality of global warming was a big priority. Initiating various payoffs to their political and economic benefactors was a big priority. Everything was a priority except for counterterrorism. So Clark, to his credit, was pushing very hard on this issue and getting absolutely nowhere. And really, that's the gist of his book in a nutshell, is that that's what was going on, is that these guys, as he put it in his testimony, he's outraged that they would be running as, you know, the guarantors of your security when, in fact, they're completely incompetent in dealing with terrorism. He also has some interesting things to say about what are the reasons for this. And I think, again, distilling it down to its essence, it seemed to me that the gist of his argument is that, as he put it, these fellows who are running the Bush administration, least of all Bush, we know that, as he put it, were preserved in amber since 1991. And once they got back into office, they picked up where they left off. So if you think back about it, these guys are all holdovers from the Reagan administration. So they were obsessed with, you know, ABM and having the Star Wars anti-missile defense system, for example, or China policy or state-sponsored terrorism, to the extent that they thought about terrorism at all. And, you know, and of course, most of all, job one was war with Iraq. And that's his main point. To go bring it back around to where we started, I mean, this is obvious, right? There is nothing new here, right? Woodward's book, for example, Bush at War, which was generally a very pro-Bush, took a very pro-Bush stance, made perfectly clear that that good old W wasn't interested at all in
Paul O'Neill's
in terrorism. Paul O'Neill, of course, famously through Susskind's book, said that, job one, it was clear right from the beginning, find me a way to do this, that we had to go to war with Iraq. So this is, you know, not new. So that's the interesting thing about Clark's testimony and Clark's book is I've heard some, you know, details, like he has some nice coloring, fills in a few details, talks about particular events and circumstances, and it's certainly interesting to see that. But it doesn't really change any, you know, the basic outline of the story as we perfectly well understand it.
It's interesting how the White House has been just running around in circles, kind of
Right.
So fooling around trying to refute this, starting out saying one thing, that there was no such meeting between the president and Richard Clark,
right,
changing their mind and saying, oh, well, I guess maybe there was a meeting like that. And then
right.
Bill Frist says he contradicts himself on the Senate floor, demanding that his previous testimony be declassified so they could get him for perjury. And then later on he said, well, actually, he didn't contradict himself.
Yeah, he doesn't know of any contradiction.
So they're just
he said
flailing.
In the well of the Senate that he had perjured himself, and then he said, well, I don't know of any actual contradiction.
It's a flailing process.
Yeah, so that's been the thing that's been the most fun, right? You know for sure that these stories from Clark are true for quite a large number of reasons, but not least of which is the fact that these guys are screaming bloody murder and doing anything to smear Clark's character, his motives. I mean, they're reduced to saying things like, well, you know, Clark can't be listened to because he has a friend who's actually advising John Kerry. Oh, I see. Okay, well, that's
nobody
true.
Nobody with a friend advising
then
John
we should,
Kerry
then we should just
to,
ignore. Yeah. Yeah, then we should just ignore the substance of his comments. Never mind that he was there at the time and actually had a clue about what was going on there. And but no, we don't have to address that because he has a friend who's advising John Kerry and so forth. Well, let's take a quick break. This is this is Left Out in WRCT. The telephone number here, if you wish to call us, is 412-621-9728 on campus, 89728. Or you can send mail to bob@leftout.info.